Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all. Hey, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk in the House. How y'all doing out there this wonderful afternoon? Hope everybody's having a great day and your week has been wonderful. All right, man, we got a great show planned for you today, and I hope you're ready. You're ready. It's open mic. Yeah, baby. I love it when it's a mic because you get to tell me what you want to talk about. I get to hear what you want to talk about today and what concerns you, and that's always a great thing. Let's see. What else we got for you? I got a couple of problems for you. We get your Wednesday started off right. Also, we have me. That's right. We have me talking about a whole lot of stuff. And hopefully you can comment on that as well. Or you can choose to comment on something different. It's your day today. Open mic. And open mic means you control the conversation. That's right. Let's see. Let me tell you how you can be a part of the show. Makes it easy, right? The easiest way is just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Once again, that's 347-838-8622. You can also email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Don't forget our chat room is open at Chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Okay? And for those that have other means of communicating with me, you can do that throughout the show as well. Before the show, after the show, it doesn't matter. Because I will be here for you. All right? So those are all the ways you can talk to me today. And I'm looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Okay? Now, with that being said, we have a lot going on, man. I tell you, a lot going on. And between the Democrats, the Republicans, deaths, oh, man, what else? Conspiracy theories. Oh, unfortunate deaths. You know, which calls into question, you know, should we really, really trust law enforcement sometimes? Just a whole lot of things we're going to be talking about. So just hang in there with me, and we're going to make this happen, all right? So it's that time, y'all, for get your Friday started. Right, I got a couple of songs of the day for you, and I hope you enjoy them. And we'll see y'all back here in a few minutes. Enjoy.
Fonzie!
Come and move that in my direction. Just thankful for that, such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me wanna savor every moment slowly. Slowly. You fit me, tell me, love, how you put it on. Got the only key, know how to turn it on. The way you never lie, my ear, the only words I wanna hear. Baby, take it slow so we can last long.
Tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso.
Oh yeah, ya, ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todos mis sentidos van pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído. Si no estás conmigo, despacito. Quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo las paredes de tu laberinto. Y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
Spanish, I would sing it for you, but since I can't speak Spanish, I won't do that. Okay, anyway, welcome back to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. Hey, how y'all doing out there? Glad to be back on the air, man. I tell you, whoo, this last week has been something crazy, well, the last 2 weeks, but I'm here today, and I made today open mic because I want to hear what's on your mind, so let me hear it today, you know what I mean? But if you don't, you know, I can talk too, man. You know, I can talk. All right, anyway. Anyway, let me tell you how you can call in and let me know what's on your mind. The easiest way is call me at 347-838-6222. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com. I'm talking too fast again. Here you go. www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Okay? So those are the ways you can participate in the show, and I want to hear what you got to say. Now, for those other individuals out there that's listening to the show that have other ways of communicating with me, I encourage you to use those methods as well. We do it all kind of ways. But I want to hear what's on your mind today, y'all, because there's a lot going on out here, and I couldn't even keep up with it. You know, I try and keep up with everything, but it comes to a point sometimes I just have to slow down and say, okay, it's going to be what it's going to be, because some of the things seem to be repetitive. Others are just seem to be new a little bit. And then there's others that just drive you freaking crazy, man. And I'm telling you right now, what we have going on in Washington, D.C. is just driving me crazy. I mean, it is just, oh, wow. It's just nerve-wracking, you know. Well, it's a shame that the citizens are supposed to be represented by individuals that are millionaires, and a lot of them were millionaires before they even went into government work, and so they're just getting richer as they're sitting up there, guaranteed pensions and retirement, medical care they can get. But here's the issue. None of that is trickling down to the normal citizen. None of it. You know, and I'm a vet, and I still have to fight for mine. You know, I don't get the best care either. It may be free, but, you know, it's questionable at times. I'll be honest with you. And you know, I say it's free, but honestly, it's not free because I put in 21 years to earn it. But, for those out there that have to pay for the medical care and the medication, it's just ridiculous, you know. And then you have citizens out here being shot unnecessarily. But only thing our supposed representatives are worrying about is getting rid of some knucklehead up in the White House that, hey, let's be honest, it's not going to happen, y'all. They're not going to get rid of them. I've told y'all this before on previous shows. It's not going to happen. It's not. The House of Impeachment, okay, they'll go ahead and go with the impeachment thing. But the Senate is not going to convict this man. They're too afraid of him, number one. And number two, election is coming up. So if you're getting all up and puff about, you know, it's not going to happen. I'll just be honest with you. It's not going to happen. Now, you can try if you want to, you know, you got faith in it. But I no longer have faith in those individuals. I really don't. For the last last 11 years, really, what has our Congress, supposedly representative, done for us, the citizens? What have they really done besides infight? You know, fight each other back and forth. Nothing. Yeah, okay. Some say, yeah, well, don't forget the tax cut. Well, I mean, honestly, how many of you really, really saw any improvement on your tax cuts? Really? On your taxes? How many? I've heard of many. A lot of people ended up paying more, you know, on the lower end. Well, that's not what it was supposed to do, correct? It was supposed to help the citizen, the normal Joe. But it didn't help us. It didn't. Now, you got all this stuff going on about Ukraine. You know, and it's interesting because Mick Mulvaney, he was doing a press conference the other day. And he told it the same thing I said. You know, withholding funds from these other countries that need the United States help is nothing new. It's nothing new. Biden admitted to doing it. And I'm sure if you go back and research other administrations, I'm sure it was done sometime during that too to get the United States. Let's be honest, the United States are bullies. They're bullies. You know, let's be honest. Do it. Either you do it our way or you don't get what we're going to give you. But we know you need it. So before you get all huffed and puffed and start talking about what's wrong and what's right, Let's understand that is a part of the political flow or standard operating procedure. It is. It's SOP. It's SOP. Just like this instance right now with Turkey. I mean, you can go back and look at what happened with North Korea. The same thing. Everything was fine until a decision was made that was a bonehead decision, honestly. And now all heck is broken loose. But then what happens? Oh, yeah. I mean, not North Korea, Iran. Oh, yeah. Now we're going to impose sanctions. You know, throwing rocks and hiding your hands. But in this case, there's no hiding the hands. Yeah, we're throwing the rocks. We're throwing them. But then again, that's the way it works, y'all. It's SOP. It is. It is SOP, standard operating procedure. And don't think anything other than that, because that is what it is. All this infighting and carrying on is standard operating procedure. It's a circus. It's a show. But honestly, they could care less about us unless it's an election year. Then they care. Then they make all these great promises of what they're going to do. Have you ever noticed that, you know, they have all these great debates and they come up with all these great plans, what they're going to do, this, but they never tell you how they're going to do it. They never tell you when they're going to do it. And you know why? Because they know realistically, nine times out of ten, what we're talking about is not going to happen. It's not. You know why it's not going to happen? Because we have people like McConnell, Pelosi, Schumer, Graham. All them jokers been up there 20, 30 years. 20, 30 years. And we expect, as citizens, we expect things to change because just this year, it might just change. No, it's not going to, because you keep the same old people in office. And if anybody come in talking about change, they get run out. Or they try and ruin their character, or they just disappear, or they get put on some committee that really don't matter. And I'm saying, I'm going to say, people, we have to be smarter. If we want change, we have to make change. Just that simple. If we want change, we have to make change. I mean, vote these folk out of there that's been there forever. They have made their money. Legally and illegally. This thing with the Biden child over there making, you know, getting paid $5,000 a month and everybody up in arms about all those political people, children over them, over in foreign countries making money. Once again, this is not something new. It's not. No, all the attention right now is on Biden. Why? Because he's running for the presidency. And honestly, he basically, they feel, the Trump campaign team feels he's the biggest threat to them being unseated. So let's go out there and create the big old thing. Same thing with this. Remember when Hillary Clinton was running 2 weeks before the election, this thing came out that they were reopening the investigation on Benghazi? Let's not forget, that had died down. That had really died down until it was announced that the Department of Justice was reopening it. Then it became a national conversation once again. Standard operating procedure. That's what this is. It really is. Now, don't take my word for it. Just go back and do your research, and you will find this is just how it's done. Year in and year out. You know, during an eight-year span, they may pass one major piece of legislation, and everybody applauds that. Then they go back doing the same old thing they usually do. Now, that piece of legislation that they may pass, it may not even really have any effect on us, the citizen, the normal Joe type of citizen. It's just that simple, y'all. It's just that simple. I mean, if you want to try and put it in any other way, you can't. You can't. You know, let's look at this Ukraine thing. You know, first, it was President Trump, the ambassadors, Giuliani. Oh, it was those individuals, right? Now you got Rick Perry involved. Then you got this guy named Igor Friedman, Lev Parnas. And there's another guy that they haven't even mentioned. His name is Harry Sargent III. They haven't even mentioned him. So as this thing keeps going, you're going to find there's a whole lot of people finna get thrown under the bus. And it's only a distraction. It's only a distraction. But the mainstream media is going to jump all over it. They're going to keep biting and fighting and fighting and putting out the information. But the end run is nothing's really going to change. Let's remember, a president is only in office at the most 8 years. At the most 8 years. Right? 8 years. But you have congressmen and women up there been up there 20, 30, 40 years. So what needs to change? What needs to change? I know there was a big push for term limits for the senators and stuff. Mr. McConnell said, well, that wasn't going to happen. This is when the Republicans was in charge. Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's why we have elections. And honestly, he's correct. He is correct. That's why they have elections. But if you continue, if we as citizens continue to go for the name we know, then stop yelling about term limits. Stop yelling about it. Because apparently we do not want anything to change. We're happy with the status quo. We like arguing about it. We like complaining about it. Because we haven't tried to make any changes. Think about that for a moment. Now, think about that. There's some truth to it, correct? If not, let me know. I may be on the wrong avenue here. But there's some truth to that. Oh, that's why the Republicans aren't trying to go against Trump right now. As he once said before in a rally, he go out there and shoot somebody right now, not one Republican probably would condemn him. Being that it's coming up on election. We know his base won't do it. They've shown that. Of course, on the Democratic side, oh yeah, they'd be huffing and puffing. But isn't that all they do, huff and puff? Huff and puff. Now, let me talk up a little bit. I'm rolling away from that here for a moment. Let me talk a little bit about this thing with Turkey and Syria, okay? Because it's a very interesting piece of strategy going on here that I don't think the normal citizen is really paying attention to, okay? So there was a conversation between the president and the president of Turkey. And, the president said, well, we're going to withdraw our soldiers. You know, Turkey said, okay, fine, we're going in. All right? And we're supposed to be protecting this piece of land up in northern Syria with, the Kurds, who, some are fighting with the United States to keep against ISIL or ISIS or whatever you want to call them. And, it's this piece of land that Turkey says, hey, they need to get away. This is our land. It's the same old, about a piece of land, basically. Okay? And The president of Turkey basically told him, if you withdraw your troops, we're going in. So when the decision was made to withdraw these troops, do not think that it was a big surprise, or it wasn't a surprise, because it was already known it was going to happen. Now, the president of the day in a rally said, well, it's like two kids fighting. Let them fight. Well, if that is the strategy or the mindset for that little piece of land, well, let's pull all our troops out from all over the world then. Let all of them fight and figure it out on their own. Why is just this little piece right here? You know, why? Why this little tiny piece of land, you know, this little area right here? Let's not forget, during the Gulf War, when the United States wanted to use Turkey as a landing spot to refuel planes, Turkey told them, no, that's not happening. We're not going to allow you to use our airspace. See, people, you know, those are pieces of the research and the history that people are not thinking about. But let me go ahead and get back to this other piece here. All right, so now, you know, Turkey goes in and they going over there and they whipping butt over there now, okay? Now, all of a sudden, since there's been a little uproar over this whole thing, now what does the United States want to do? Oh, let's throw some sanctions on them. Yeah, we're going to throw some serious sanctions on you. Well, okay. Once again, you throw sanctions on them, people get desperate, and then they start coming after you, right? But to top it all off, Trump decides to send a letter to the Turkish president saying, don't be a tough guy, don't be a fool, in regard to going in and attacking the Kurds. Is this not pouring fuel on the fire? Now, the Turkish president in response says that Turkey will do what is necessary when the time comes to retaliate for that letter, because they felt it was not diplomatic. It was not the way it's supposed to be done in international deliberations. And yeah, they don't have time for it right now, basically what he's saying. But when the time comes and we want to address this and we want to deal with this, we will. Once again, the United States is creating more havoc than they're solving anything. They really are. But let me tell you the backstory to this whole thing. And what's really the United States is really, and Israel. See, Israel being quiet on this because they're doing this little backdoor diplomatic thing. But let me tell you what the real side story to this whole thing is. Israel and the United States are hoping Iran would get involved in this conflict. Now, see, everybody's going to forget that the United States has been after Iran for the last, since they got out of the United States pulled out of the nuclear deal. Ever since then, the United States has been after Iran to try and change their regime. Okay? Don't forget that. Some of them Kurds up there are Shiite. Is it Shiite? Yeah, I think it's Shiite or Sunni. Muslims. And they are, some of them are supported by the Iranian government. So by allowing Turkey to go in and attack them, you know, Iran, the hope is that Iran will say, oh, heck no, we are not going to, no, we're going to help our people. And that pulls them into a conflict, which means then they could be condemned and America can go in and attack Iran. You see how that worked? You see how easy that was thought about? And this is the way that it's operated on a daily normal basis. There's always backstories to everything that is done by a government, especially this government here. There's always a backstory, a underlying motive to doing certain things. And we have to, as citizens, we have to understand that. We really do. Now, you know, I understand there's some people say, well, you know what, that's about time we did that. You know, about time to just let them fight and let them do their own thing. Well, then, okay, as I said before, that's fine. But if you're going to do it for one side, do it for all. You know, just bring our soldiers out of the Middle East, period. Of course, you know you can't let that happen. Because now we have soldiers over there defending the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. Yeah. While the United States is supplying Saudi Arabia with equipment, military equipment, and they're using it to fight against the Yemen fighters over in Yemen. But they want to condemn Iran. See, this is such craziness. They want to condemn Iran because the Houthis or whatever they call them over there in Yemen use some Iran's stuff that sold them to bomb the oil fields. But the United States and Syria, you know, wants to blame Iran for it. Well, shouldn't the same thought process be applied to the United States and for selling the equipment to Saudi Arabia and they're using it to bomb citizens and the Houthis over in Yemen? Shouldn't that be the same thing? See, the hypocrisy is just amazing. It really is. It's amazing. But nobody wants to admit that. Because we're the strongest country out there. You know, they like to say, we're the strongest country out there, and we're the best in the free world, and yeah. Whatever. We're also some of the biggest hypocrites there is. But nobody's going to admit that. No one's going to admit. Because that's admitting that, you know, we're not doing what's right all the time. And we can't have that because we are arrogant enough to believe that whatever we do is right. And anybody that stands up and says anything different will be ostracized, criticized, and sometimes just gotten rid of if you don't shut up. You know? But anyway. So that is, you know, what's going on with this, with this Ukrainian thing and the Turkey thing. You know, with the Ukraine thing, you know, so many people coming out and, you know, being involved in this and who's got this started and who's doing this. As in all of these things, just like the Mueller report and the Russian collusion and all that, there would never be any truth that would come out from any of it because neither side really wants the truth to come out. I know y'all don't believe that, but that's the truth. Neither side really wants to. It's a good show. It is. It's a good show. But if you dive deep into it and really get into it, what you will find out is both sides are guilty. Both sides are guilty. The standard operating procedure. Golly, it's just one of those things. All right, like I said before, today is open mic. Let me hear what you got to say. Hey, I can keep talking, but I want to hear what you have, what's on your mind. You know, it's been a while since I let y'all get in a good point here, too. So today is your day. So give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And, of course, our chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right? So if you got anything you want to talk about, it doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. Bring it on. Bring it on. You know, I try to be update on a whole lot of stuff, so it doesn't matter. If not, you can educate me. I'm not too hard-headed to say I don't know everything. And I learned as much from you as you do from me. Hopefully you learned something from me. But anyway, continuing on. This past week, Elijah Cummings passed at 68 years old. He was the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. And, you know, it was a big loss. It really was. Because I really kind of enjoyed him when he got in front of them people testifying and he got talking crazy. He would jump on them and correct them real quick. Real quick. Yeah. But apparently, you know, he had heart surgery. And he had a little health. He had a little setback from that and had some other health issues. So, you know, condolences go out to his family. And, you know, regardless, we have to keep moving on. I hate to say it like that. And, you know, and you know what? Let me talk about this for a moment, because I know some people are going to say, oh, wow, Mr. Talk, really? You know, you just like that? You know, as a veteran, you know, I've seen a whole lot. I really have in deployments and things like this. And, you know, so, and especially when it comes to things such as death, you know, it's really, trying not to sound insensitive, but sometimes it's just really hard to feel anything, you know, when it comes to death, when you've seen a lot of it. You know, and what you realize is, you know, yeah, it's one of those things where it's sad for the moment, but you can't let it linger. You have to keep moving. Does that make sense to you? And you know, I know a lot of people, you know, they take it hard, and it just eats at them. But you got to let it go, people. You know, so if I sound a little insensitive about, you know, Congressman Cummings, don't hold it against me. It's just I've seen a lot and I've basically become numb to it, okay? And yes, I've had some very close people in my family pass within close proximity of each other. And yeah, it was hard. It was. But have to roll. Have to keep rolling. Because they're gone and you're not. I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. They're gone and you're not. So you have to keep moving. Have to keep moving. You know, so with Cummings being gone as the chairman, who takes over now? Who actually takes over? And for right now, it'd be the second man, Representative Carolyn Maloney, okay, of New York. And she represents one of the richest parts of New York. You know, one of the very richest, rich parts of New York. That is, you know, the largest Greek communities in New York. So it's interesting to see how she would handle, you know, after, you know, this impeachment process as well, because that, you know, that's who been issuing all these subpoenas and things, the House Oversight Committee. So let's see if she's going to continue to go after the Trump administration and President Trump, or, you know, will there be a little back off and share type of thing. We'll see. One other thing. See, as I talk, hope more things roll into my brain. All right. You know, when you talk about Congress and they put up these great flow shows about how the American people this and they fight for this, if that's the case, then when their breaks come, why do they leave on break? Why don't they stay and continue to fight and try and work things out? You ever thought about that? But they go on break. They're going to break 2 or 3, 4 weeks at a time. And you hear nothing from them. They go back to their home states or to their vacation areas or wherever they go. And you hear nothing from them. Nothing. Not a dang thing. Is that somebody we really want to represent us as people? Do we really want them to represent us? Heck no. So let's vote them old dogs out of, and when I say old dogs, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I just mean they've been there forever. You know, they like that old hound dog that don't hunt anymore but just be sitting there holding up space, farting and carrying on. Yeah. Let's get them out of office, y'all. Vote them out. Get some new blood in there, and let's see how things work then. You know, you can't expect change if you don't make the change. All right, so Once again, it's open mic. Talk to me, y'all. What y'all got for me today? I have a lot, but I know I want to hear what you got, because a lot of y'all got a lot of stuff to talk about. Y'all may not say it now, but y'all come on, talk to me. All right, let's move on here until y'all let me know what's on your mind. Here's an interesting thing that happened. When did this happen? Saturday. Yeah, this happened Saturday, and this was really a sad, sad case. Fort Worth officer kills woman in her bedroom in response to open structure call. An officer responding to a welfare call early Saturday morning in Fort Worth, Texas, fired once into a Tatiana Jefferson's bedroom window and killed her. Police say a weapon was recovered from the room in which she was pronounced dead. Now, woo! Uh-huh. Now, see, this is sad. This is sad. Now, let me go on and say, ever since this has happened, the officer has been fired. No, he resigned. The police chief said he was going to be fired that afternoon, but the officer resigned that day. So, but anyway, let's go and talk about this, because this was really sad. It really was. And if you know, there was a video, and they were showing the video, and you see the cop walking around the house and, you know, checking things out. You know, but one thing they never did was never went in the house, number one. And the other thing was never identified themselves as police officers. He never said this was the police. He didn't. Only thing you heard him yell was, "Put your hands up, show me your hands." And then, pow, pow. It was over. It was over. So, when it comes to welfare calls or checking on people, how do you handle that? Is this another example of how that the citizen cannot trust law enforcement for anything anymore? Depending on where you live at. Now, I'm not saying all law enforcement are this reckless, because I can't say that. But in this instance, with the Fort Worth and the Dallas Police Department, they have had so many instances. You know, the report goes to say that when the officer was searching the perimeter of Jefferson's house, the officer noticed a person inside and standing near the window, which police say was perceived as a threat. This is when the officer drew his weapon, ordered Jefferson's hands up, and shot. Now, once again, the door was open to the front of the house, right? Why didn't at least one officer go in and make it known that the police was there? Why didn't they do that? Would common sense say that? And even though you did walk, and this was a welfare, this wasn't a call about a burglary. This wasn't a call about a hostage situation. This was a welfare call. Go and check on, see what's going on. The door was open. The neighbor across the street was concerned. He didn't call that emergency number. He didn't call 911. He called that non-emergency number they give you for police departments. And even though the officer did see somebody standing by the window, he's fucking in the house. She's in her house. So how did it all of a sudden it becomes a threat? She became a threat. It makes no sense. Scary officers need to be taken off the street. And that's what it came down to. The guy was scared. Trigger happy and scared. And in all cases, all of a sudden, there's a weapon that was found. Well, she's in her house. She's in her house. It didn't say the weapon was pointed at the officer, did it? No. But let's be honest, if you're a homeowner and you see somebody creeping on your window and you have a weapon, don't you think you would go and get it yourself? I know Harkham would. And I know Harkham has a lot of weapons. Y'all don't know who that is, but I know who it is. He's probably laughing right now, but he knows, yeah. But the weapon was discovered, supposedly discovered afterwards. So there was no reports of a weapon being pointed at the officer at any time. See, and that's another thing with law enforcement that I think a lot of people have a problem with, because all of a sudden when they're wrong, they try and switch the narrative to make it seem that the person that was killed was in the wrong. But no. Authorities say that when they entered Jefferson's home, a gun was recovered from the bedroom, the area where police shot and where Jefferson was pronounced dead. Officers did not say whether Jefferson was holding a weapon at the time the officer fired at her. Tatum said Jefferson's having a weapon should not have justified the use of deadly force. Exactly. And Tatum was the police chief. Exactly. See, once again, you have scary cops going out here calling themselves supposed to protect the citizen, and they're executing them. That's basically what this comes down to, an execution. You know, now the neighbor across the street is just, you know, emotionally hurt. He said, I feel guilty because if I had not called the police to do a welfare check, my neighbor would still be alive. So he's feeling guilty for the actions of the police department. Now, let's remember, this is less than a month that Amber Gagger trial just ended. When she went in all and shot Botham John sitting on his couch, talking about it was her apartment. What is going on with law enforcement, y'all? What kind of people are these departments hiring? One can't realize she's in the wrong apartment and just shoots a man sitting there eating ice cream. This cop, he goes to a window, sees somebody, yells and fires. Never identifying himself. Never going through the front door, which was open, and identifying himself. What is going on? What kind of training are these officers getting? And what can we as citizens do about it? This was a quote-unquote welfare check. It wasn't a threatening call. It was not a threatening call. It's sad. It is sad. But they want you to believe that because there was a weapon found, that there may have been a threat. We just don't know. No. No. We know better than that. We do. We know better than this. We do. I'm going to tell y'all a story. And this is how I know something just ain't right. I'm going to tell you. You know, I was a manager at a fast food restaurant. And I had been working there about a month or so. And also, I think we had we had a freezer or something go out. So, you know, I'm in back looking to see if any fuses, anything, and then blown, you know, to click it back on. And I found this button. You know, not knowing what this button was, I pushed it. You know, saying, well, maybe this could turn the freezer back on, right? Now, not knowing what I'm pushing, you know, just, you know, pushing the button trying to see. So as I'm closing, you know, because we had closed, you know, so as I'm doing my final checks, you know, count my money and stuff like that, I noticed a police car on one side of the road. Okay, they done stopped somebody, or he just sitting there doing reports, right? Then I noticed another police car sitting on the other side. So I'm like, okay, all right, interesting. So, you know, all of a sudden, I see a body creeping toward the front door, you know, from the side. So I'm looking like, what in the world is this? You know, so I go and look because I want to be, I want to know what's coming at me, right? And it was a police officer sneaking up on the front door. Now, I walk toward the front door, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. Now, at no time, I'm telling y'all, at no time did that officer draw his weapon and point it at me. Okay? Not one time. And y'all know what button I hit? I hit the silent alarm button. That's what I hit. But at no time did that officer draw his weapon and point it at me. Now, if there was ever a time for that to happen, I would think that would be special with me walking toward the front door. But never did that happen. You know, he communicated with me. I communicated with him. I unlocked the door, and I let him in. And it was squashed. Just like that. So what is happening? What is happening with these new police officers all of a sudden? Why are they automatically shooting and killing these people that have done nothing? Nothing. Trigger happy. Nothing. Is it because of media? Is it because of media now? Is it because of the narrative that, you know, everybody's out to get the police? Which is not true. I mean, it's not like law enforcement is making it easy on themselves. So, my question is, should there be more training for these officers? More intense training? More situational training? Should there be more psychological testing done for these officers? I mean, is there an answer here? Because this cannot continuously go on. It just can't. Too many innocent people are losing their lives. Now, I used to say, hey, it's your time, it's your time. I used to say that. But I've grown a little bit, and I realize sometimes we leave here a little bit earlier than we're supposed to. However, you know, what can we do to stop this? Because it's becoming too commonplace. It happens too often. It's happening too often. How do we fix it? Can it be fixed? Can it? I guess that's the question. Can it be fixed? Or do we just leave it as a hope that it gets better? Maybe that's what it is. We just hope that it gets better. I don't know. Y'all let me know. 347-838-8622 is the number. All right? EricLessTalk@gmail.com is my email. And the chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Let's see. What else we got here? Let's stay on the things about the police shootings here. As I mentioned before, good segue here. The Amber Geiger trial just ended, and of course she was given 10 years, but the biggest thing everybody was upset about because the judge and the brother gave the Geiger a hug, and everybody got thrown all out of whack because of it, and I've covered that already, and I'm not going to go too much further in that unless you want to. But There was a man that testified in the trial, and basically a couple of days after he testified, he was killed. He was shot and killed. Now, is it coincidence, or was he punished because he testified? Now, see, now this borders on conspiracy theory / coincidence, yeah. But it's suspicious to say, it's really suspicious. Now, you know, it's really suspicious because the tale that is being told now is really, really shady. Yeah. The tale that's being told by law enforcement is really shady. And I don't know, y'all. I don't know how much of it y'all done followed or heard about. But, yeah, this is it's crazy. Oh, I know the boy was there. All right, so his name was Joshua Brown, Mr. Brown. Days after the trial ended testifying, Mr. Brown was shot down in his apartment complex parking lot. Okay? Now, it's interesting because basically what they're saying is it was a drug-related shooting and a drug deal going wrong. Okay? Of course, it says Mr. Brown had been shot in the mouth and the chest. Okay, what witnesses say Brown was shot in the side and the buttocks. So, however he was shot, he died. Okay. Now another official who spoke anonymously, isn't that wonderful how they do that? Said he was shot in the back and the thigh. Okay. So. You know, and then the Dallas police said he was shot multiple times in his lower body. So, who knows where this guy was shot at? Well, we know he was shot and he died, right? We do know that. We do know that. Here's another interesting aspect of this thing. As I said before, police said this was a drug deal gone wrong. And, of course, as always, whenever the police is involved with a shooting that seems a little suspicious, they go and dig up dirt on the suspect and make him seem like he's the biggest dirtbag there was. So, you know, the starve off or to keep sympathy from the victim. And, of course, they mentioned all his arrests and for drug-related things. And, you know, made him seem like, okay, he was a drug dealer, right? Yeah. So, they arrested two guys, Jacarius Mitchell and Michael Diaz Mitchell and Thaddeus Charles Green. One was 19, one was 32, the other one was 22. Now, here is, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, y'all. You cannot make this stuff up. They want you to believe that these guys drove 300 miles from Alexandria, Louisiana, in a rental car just to rob this guy Brown. That's what the police want you to think. If you didn't think there was anything suspicious about it, wouldn't that make you think, wait a minute? Now, here's the kicker about this whole thing that, you know, nobody's really talking about. The guys admitted that they had never had any interaction with Mr. Brown. None. They didn't know Mr. Brown from the man on the moon. So how do they intentionally drive 300 miles to rob somebody when they have never met them? But it was a drug deal gone wrong. Put that together. And see how that works together there. It doesn't. It doesn't. How did they know he would have drugs that day? How did they know where he lived at? If they had never met the guy, never had any interaction with him, how did they know? You see how suspicious this is? Now, it was interesting because when reports came out, they said there was a silver sedan that pulled up, shot him, and pulled off. Now, we do know a lot of undercover officers, you know, they ride in cars that look similar to that. Right? Yeah. Now, but we're going to continue. We're going to continue because this is just really crazy. You know, when asked by a prosecutor whether he had some issues in the past with police officer criminal justice, Brown acknowledged that he had. The prosecutor mentioned two convictions, you know, but a search of public records shows several additional cases. You know, he spent 30 days in jail in one place. You know, he did a little something in Austin where, you know, he was found sleeping, passed out in the car, and a search of his vehicle turned up cocaine, marijuana, you know, and an anti-anxiety drug. You know, he pleaded guilty, you know, and was sentenced to 18 months probation. Now, this is stuff they're saying. This is the stuff they're saying. All right. So, oh, I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. You know, now, here's another interesting part about this. Did he live in the same apartment complex he lived in when both of John's was shot? No, he moved from there after the shooting. He moved from there. That's what the report said. He moved from there. So, what happened? Y'all see how this is not adding up? Y'all see how this is just sounds crazy? This sounds crazy. Now, this is what the guys that are arrested said happened. According to arrest warrant for Davis, Green, one of the guys that, you know, was involved, got out of the car to talk to Brown, leading to an altercation. Jacarez Mitchell told police that he got out of the car and Brown shot him. Then he heard two more gunshots as he fell back into the car, according to an affidavit. Green then got into the car with Brown's gun and a backpack containing marijuana, police say. Mitchell, the driver, and Mitchell's uncle then dropped off his nephew at a hospital. And then Green directed him to lie about where he was shot and who he was with. Okay, this Kia was a silver 2020. It was a silver 2020 Kia, and they returned it to Alexandria on that Sunday. Officer found a holster in Brown's waistband, but no gun. According to affidavit, when police searched Brown's apartment, they seized 12 pounds of marijuana, 143 grams of THC cartridges, and 4,000 cash. Man, does this sound like a setup or what? I'm sorry. This sounds like a setup to me. I can't go with that no more. You know, and to top it off, they drove 300 miles. 300 miles. You know, I'm trying to find out where, you know, because they had never met this guy. They didn't know who he was. They didn't. Let's see here. I'm trying to see where it says that. Yeah, on Tuesday, police released arrest warrant affidavits for three suspects saying three men had driven to Dallas from Alexandria, Louisiana, in a plot to rob Brown. Yeah, we know. I'm trying to see where it says that. Because it's in the report. Well, one of the guys said they didn't know who he was. They said they didn't know who he was. They said, they said Brown had just returned to the apartment complex from watching a football game and was standing in the hallway when he heard what sounded like two people meeting by surprise, then gunfire. He ran to safety after that, he testified. Okay, then he was testifying about the trial. I can't find it right now. But yeah, basically they said they didn't know who this guy was. So if they don't know who he was, why would you drive 300 miles to rob him? Right? Does that make sense to y'all? Does that make sense to y'all? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, when you think about logically, it makes no sense whatsoever. None. But, once again, something suspicious happened, and it involves Fort Worth, Dallas, with the police officers and shooting, and all of a sudden, the victim, you know, is made out to be the criminal, the bad person here. And quiet as kept, it has gotten quiet about what happened, right? Yeah. So those are the things involving local. I mean, I ain't going to say local, but police officers, shootings, and, you know, how questionable they are. They are. Well, I'm not going to say this was a police shooting per se, but the stories that are being told and the coincidence that he testified against a police officer, that's too coincidental. Too coincidental. And we do know police unions are pretty strong, and the blue do back their own, right? Yes, we know this. The blue backs their own. They protect their own. Oh, they do protect their own. But then again, who are we to figure that out, right? We're not that smart. We're not that intelligent. We're not that intelligent. All right, so that's all I got, y'all. I don't have any more. I keep talking. But I want to hear what you got. Talk to me, y'all. 347-838-8622. Today is your day. Open mic. Open mic. You know, you sit back and you go through this stuff and you read and you read and you search internet, you look at different reports, and you know, it's amazing how as humans we let our minds lead us to whatever we want it to lead us to. Now, why am I saying that? Because when you take a look at everything that's going on, you know, with the presidency, shootings, you know, depending on what side you are or what you let in your mind tell you, you know, there's never any giveaway for some people. In other words, if they're for Trump, they're for Trump. There can do nothing wrong. Just the same it was with Obama when he was president. If they voted for Obama, 9 times 10, Obama could do no wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you, they all do wrong, okay? Some is just more noticeable than others, but they all doing wrong. They are all doing wrong. Okay? They are. And this is a country where you're allowed to have free speech. Okay? You're allowed to have free speech to a certain extent. Let's be honest, to a certain extent, because if you say the wrong thing, you will get a visit by some people. All right? I mean, let's be honest about that as well. So free speech is free up to a certain extent. All right? But here's the point I'm trying to make. When somebody says something, and just because you disagree doesn't make them wrong. Okay? This is the point I'm making. It doesn't make them wrong. They just don't agree with what you're thinking at that time. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the problem we have is the way we communicate with each other. You know, I was having a conversation the other day on Facebook, and it was such a nice conversation because there was no yelling. And, you know, you can yell on Facebook whether y'all know it or not. You know, that's what they tell me anyway. But there was no yelling, no name calling, no obscenities. It was just a conversation. And, yes, it was about politics. And the amazing part of the whole thing was there were some points that everybody agreed upon. There were some points everybody disagreed on. But it was a conversation. It was civil because everyone respected what the other person had to say. And that is the point. You know, as people, as humans, we have to respect what other people. Everybody's not going to think the same. Yeah, we know there's some buttholes out there that's just, you know, ignorant and obnoxious. But does that say you have to be the same way? No, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about the trial, the Amber Geiger trial. And only thing they kept saying, well, she was racist, and he shouldn't have hugged her, back and forth. And my question was, just because she was racist, does that mean the boy who gave a hug had to be racist? And you could hear crickets then. You know why? Because it made too much sense. Just because you call me out my name, do I have to call you out your name? Now, that's not saying I may not want to, but do I have to? No. No. Now, don't get it twisted. Depending on what you call me, you may be laying on your back. But, you know, and once again, I'm going to say it again. It's okay to hear what other people have to say. It's okay to see common ground what other people say. It's okay to disagree with them as well. It is. You do not have to agree with everybody all the time. But, I mean, what purpose is disagreeing with somebody every time as well? As much as I stay on the president about the crazy things he do, there have been a couple of things that he has done that I have supported. Just like Obama, when Obama was in office. If he did something I didn't agree with, I said I didn't agree with it. Regardless of what people thought. See, and that's the other thing. You have to stop worrying about what people think about you and what they think about what you say. Because what you feel and what you think is your brain. It's you. That what makes you you. You don't have to kowtow to everybody and agree with everything everybody say. That's crazy. That means you don't have a mind of your own. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Because just listen sometime then. If you don't agree with them, you don't have to go back and argue with them. Just listen. Just listen. It's not going to hurt you to listen, is it? And actually, by listening, you may realize, hey, they have some pretty decent points there. But if you, by the time the third word come out their mouth, you already have a defense for what they're saying, then you're defeating the purpose of even having a conversation. That's a fact. So, as I said before, I'm saying all this to say, you know, just calm down, listen to the facts, do a little research, educate yourself, so when you get in those type of conversations, you don't have to just spout out talking points. You can actually spout facts. And listen to the other person. They may be telling you some facts as well that you weren't aware of. But if you're always on the defensive, then that makes it kind of hard for anybody to have a conversation. You know, conversations are pretty good, really, because you'd be surprised as some of the conversations that you will have that would actually end up with making a new friend, you know, or gaining a little clarity on the situation, or even coming up with a solution. But you have to have the conversation without the yelling, name calling, physicality. You know, I see these videos where they have some of these Trump people, and they ask them questions, and they really have no idea what they're talking about. They don't. Why? Because the only thing they heard is what's been said in the media, and that's it. They haven't taken the time to go and do any research to find out what's truth or not. But at the same, on the same thing, same token, right? The same thing happens on the Democratic side as well. You hear people talking, but they have no idea what they're talking about. Talking out the side of their neck. Yeah, talking out the side of their neck. People, do your research. Don't depend on others to educate you, okay? Don't depend on others. Yeah, individuals like myself and others out there, we do a lot of research. We do a lot of reading. We do a lot of looking at videos and digging deeper than what's on the top. We do that. But you can do it too. You can do it too. Instead of being on Google looking up a song lyric or, well, now, you know, there ain't nothing wrong looking up with a song lyric, now don't get me wrong. But, you know, some of y'all go on Google to look up the craziest thing. You know, look up some information. It's not going to hurt you. It's really not. You may actually learn something and become a more dedicated or informed citizen, which may actually make you want to vote for the right person. See, once again, the other problem with this country is we have been conditioned, programmed, whatever you want to call it, to believe that I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, we don't get along, we don't think about the same thing. That's not the truth. It's not. Only thing that is programming you to think one way, to give you what they call a closed mind. And closed minds don't get fed. Because they're closed. No, as I said earlier, all Republicans aren't wrong. All Democrats aren't right. Vice versa. But if you're not doing your research and following up on stuff they're doing and saying, how do you know? Are you going to trust what NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, who else? CBS, ABC. You gonna trust what they tell you? They have their own agendas. They are told what to report and how to report it. This guy, one of the guys on Fox News that just quit. I'm sorry, he resigned. I don't want nobody to get upset because I said he quit. But resign is another word for quit. I just want y'all to know that. And look it up in your thesaurus. It'll tell you. Anyway. Oh, and this female that was fired from Fox News. They admitted it. You know, all these, you know, Fox News, when they put out information, they put out information that supports what they want you to know. Now, the interesting part about that is there may be a little truth in it. There may be a little lie in it. But it's to get you to think in one way and believe in what they want you to believe. So if you're sitting there drinking your coffee and that's all you watch it in the morning time, then your point of view is skewed a little bit because you don't know the truth. Because you've been programmed just to believe what you've just been told. When you go and grab that laptop or that get on your desktop, hit Google, type in what you want to know, and go down. And when you do that, here's another interesting thing. When you do that, don't just stop at one article or one site. Pick multiple sites, okay? Pick multiple sites. You know, close out, retype it, find some other stuff. And read the different articles and opinions and things like that. And then you begin to see a clearer picture of what's really going on. It's not hard. We make it hard. We do. We make it hard. But if somebody came out with a pair of shoes, you know, it's a brand new pair of Jordans, and they said, oh, you got to go online right now and order them, oh, the internet would shut down. Everybody trying to find these shoes, how they can get them cheap. What you doing then? You're going from multiple sites, multiple stores, trying to find who has the cheapest. Same thing with finding out with how your government runs. But then again, y'all don't want to know that. Y'all don't, because you really don't care. Long as it's not affecting your immediate bubble, you care less. And that's fine. That is fine. If that's what you, how you want to do it, do it. You know, my mom say whatever. And you know, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. Honestly, I say that out. I forget the name of where you going where every congressman voted on every bill that's in it. Did you know that? Right on the internet. You see every piece of legislation that they came up with or they co signed on.
show. Yeah.
Oh,
what you miss. Come here, sugar, and get to this. Oh, baby, I want you here. I want to do something to give you. I want to be by your
wishing you were here with me, falling in love again.